Joining us for coffee at KYUK this morning are two people who can tell us a little bit about having a healthy baby and about a healthy pregnancy. Vanessa Varigan works with the Maternal Child Death Review Committee for the State Division of Public Health, and Abra Putkatuk is an indigenous doula with the Alaska Native Birth Workers community. Also, of course, joining us this morning is our own Olivia Eberts. Welcome to you all.
Thank you, Grady. Hi, Vanessa, and hi, Abra.
Hi, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
So, Abra, before we get started, I just want to make sure we're all on the same page about this. What is a doula exactly?
Yeah, so a birth doula is a Greek word, and it basically means helper. And I also like to say indigenous birth helper just to make it more understandable. But a doula will be there for a lot of roles for pregnant people, for birth support, but also before baby is born, I can meet up with expecting families and help them develop a birth plan and just kind of touch base with how they want the birth to go in an ideal world. And then once birth starts, usually I'll head to the hospital or birthing center or home and be there throughout the labor and then also after birth. So it's not necessarily a medical role, but more of a role of helping. And traditionally, of course, in Alaska and in all indigenous communities, there were people who were there to help with pregnancy and birth and offer that supporting role.
And exactly what is the significance of an indigenous doula, or for some indigenous women to have an indigenous doula in their lives at the critical birthing moment? Does that make a big difference?
I think it varies, of course, for everyone, but here in Alaska, I am a part of the Alaska Native Birth Workers community, and our goal is just to make sure that whoever needs support or wants that support, we'll be able to offer it for them. And studies have shown that present at your birth will reduce negative outcomes, so whether that be interventions or anything else that birth doula support will lead to a better birth overall.
Excellent. And Vanessa, I have a few questions for you. So you work with the Maternal Child Death Review Committee. We are coming off the heels of May, which was a special month to raise awareness about this. Could you tell us a little bit about this and some of the recent committee findings?
Yeah, thank you for the question. So maternal life loss is an issue that's gaining national attention. So all over the country, we're looking at the question of why does the United States have the highest rates of maternal life loss out of all advanced, you know, wealthy nations? And that's a question that I don't have an answer for today, but our work is trying to look at the factors. So we take a look at each life and death of any person who passes away during pregnancy or during the year after the end of a pregnancy for any reason. And we look at all of the protective factors and risk factors and places where perhaps the system could have done better. And so we actually in Alaska are fortunate to have, we believe, a lower maternal mortality rate than the national average, but it's still much higher than we would want to see, identifying between 6 and 13 maternal deaths per year over the past decade. And we see disparities by race, just like the rest of the country. And in Alaska, that particularly looks like disparities for Indigenous women. And I just want to say, you know, before I kind of state numbers and causes, that the numbers and statistics don't tell the whole story. It doesn't tell the story of all of the healthy babies who are born, all of the healthy birthing people who care for their children and bond and you know, have a positive experience, such as to acknowledge that. But we see that for maternal life lost, that when you combine suicide and accidental overdose deaths, that's the leading cause of maternal life lost in Alaska. And then other leading causes are homicides and pregnancy-related medical causes. And when our committee looks at these deaths, we find that the great majority of them, around 87%, are potentially preventable. And some of the things that the committee often believes would help prevent those lives lost is social support and comprehensive perinatal care that includes mental health screening and support. Supports like doulas come up very often, and also just community supports, friends and families who are there to help carry the burden that bringing a life into the world often is for people.
And what are some of the things that a high rate of infant and maternal death could tell us about a community?
Yeah, so maternal and infant mortality is one of their indicators that we look at in population health that often kind of are help us understand the health of a population overall. If our birthing people and our infants aren't healthy, then how is the rest of the population going to be healthy? And it's a complex, you know, there's a lot of things that can go into that. But we do see disparities. If, for example, we did see in the most recent five-year average higher rates of infant mortality and maternal mortality for the Southwest Public Health Region. And unfortunately, that's kind of the smallest area that I can tell you about because of our small numbers that we work with.
That's great. We're in Southwest, so give us all the data.
Yeah, and it's hard data to hear about, and there's no easy answers. We often talk about things in the committee, those really deep and difficult questions, and Opera is one of our committee members and panelists who helps us talk about those hard questions like racism and the impacts of colonization. The tribal health system is incredibly robust. It's an amazing system. Access to care often isn't the key issue as it is in some of these states in the lower 48. But of course, you know, having to travel far distances to give birth, having to be away from your community is certainly an issue. But also just having providers who understand your culture and who know how to listen, and who are able to provide care in a way that builds the trust, because there's so many historical and present day issues that go into that.
Certainly. And does the Maternal Child Death Review Committee work with some of the, for example, our health corporation here in the YK Delta, YKHC? Are you in touch with them about some of their programs, or how do you sort of maintain a line of connection with some of the communities that you're hearing higher statistics about?
That's a great question, and something that we've really been working on in the past year or so has been to increase representation. I think we've always had a few committee members and panelists who participate in the reviews who come from those rural hospitals and who understand the systems and the community context, but that's an area where we know we can do better. We've made a lot of improvements in the past year, and we're still continuing to look at how to do that. We strive to make sure that we're not reviewing any lives lost that happen in a community without someone at the table who at least at a minimum understands that community and preferably belongs to that community and culture and can tell us about not just the system there, but also the cultural context of those communities. So we have providers and community members who participate in our panels from Nome, from YKHC, from Ukhaozik, and other communities, so they can help give us that insight.
Yeah, and I'll chime in to say that I'm from Utqiagvik, and there I ran the prematernal home for 5 years. So that's an example that Vanessa brought up of making sure there's people who have that experience of living in rural Alaska and then knowing those resources. And as a committee, we work together when we're doing our reviews. We develop recommendations, and those recommendations then will be available, and Vanessa will know better about how they're actually sent out, but those recommendations will inform decisions, ideally, to improve our rates and make things better for birthing people in Alaska.
Yeah, and Abra, maybe you can speak to this, and I don't know if Vanessa wants to chime in too, but I would be really curious to hear about some of your work in Utqiagvik, where, you know, they're the women who are maybe the most aware about some of these issues are the ones who are probably maybe the most likely to come in and directly seek help in having a healthy baby. And you know, I don't want to be presumptuous, but I would guess that it's possible that some of the people who this affects are people who maybe don't necessarily have access or aren't aware of all the resources available. And please, again, correct me if I'm wrong, but how do you do outreach on those communities? How do you how did you, I guess, concretely focus on some of those communities?
No, that's a great question. And the wonderful thing about our healthcare system is that it is very robust, just like Vanessa said, that it, we ideally will reach everyone who's pregnant. But one of the things that's difficult about living in Alaska is that the distance and the usually the requirement of travel makes it very hard for pregnant people and birthing people. And a lot of times they're giving birth hundreds or thousands of over 1,000 miles away from home, and all the travel involved can be really difficult as well. So, but I think every region does a great job of using their regional healthcare organizations to reach people and provide those resources. And I'm thinking about the all the people I was able to work with at the prematernal home in Wood-Keagavik. And a lot of times people would fly in from the smaller villages and stay there and then deliver at the hospital there in Wood-Keagavik, or they often would travel on to Anchorage. So those are just some of the barriers, the great distance of travel. But I, you know, you said the, you know, reaching people can be difficult, but there are, at least on the North Slope, there are clinics in almost every village. And then if not, then there's health aids that are available too. So there are ways for people to get the access to health care. And part of our work with the Alaska Native Birth Workers is just getting more resources available to people. And we do biweekly learning circles on Zoom. So even just having that available to people to learn and spend time and ask questions.
Yeah, and I can weigh in just a little bit too. I think resources like that, learning circles and online kind of resources are especially helpful since people have kind of been shifting to the virtual space during the pandemic. But it's almost opened up a new way to reach people. And then just thinking about preventive health care before a person is even thinking about getting pregnant, just engaging in those annual preventive care visits are so important, because that's a time for a person to talk to their provider about, you know, their reproductive health options and mental health and all those things before someone becomes pregnant. And we do pretty good rates of annual well woman exams, but I think that that's an area where we could continue to do better. And making sure that those services are, you know, the doctors spend enough time with their patient during those preventive care visits and do all the screenings that need to happen during that time, because providers are really busy. And also just that importance of having providers who are familiar with the community and can have that trusting relationship with someone and who stay. Because if you have that primary care provider and, you know, you've been seeing them and then all of a sudden you get pregnant and then they're gone, that's really upsetting. And it helps, it, you know, reduces the amount of trust that people have for the health system. So really recruitment of providers and longevity in rural areas is something that is really important. And my unit doesn't work directly on that, but there is work being done to address that within the tribal health system.
And I'd like to get into some of, we just have a couple minutes left, but I'd like to quickly get into some of the primary issues that you think should be addressed in the YK Delta and potentially also some initiatives that are being done to address those.
So I think it's important, like, the way we talk about the primary issues affecting communities to do so in a way that's, you know, not stigmatizing. We do see higher rates of, you know, infant mortality and often substance use and mental health and wellness of people are involved in those questions. But I think it's important to look at protective factors also and to think about ways that we can bolster those protective factors in a way that's culturally supportive and also sensitive to trauma histories. And, you know, I don't know if Aubrey has other things to say about that too. I don't want to take up all the airspace if we only have a couple minutes left.
No, that's great. I just would like to add a I think it's important to remember about our very recent colonization in Alaska. So when thinking about like things like alcohol or drug misuse, historical and generational trauma are very real as well. So we just do have a long ways to go for healing, and I think that keeping that in mind, and then also what Vanessa pointed out, continuity of healthcare and trust in healthcare providers can be very hard, and trust in our healthcare system. So just also making sure that those providers are educated and understand all of those factors, and kind of taking a strength-based focus and uplifting the positive things for sure are very, very important. And I'm really excited, too, about our work with the birth workers. We're growing, and we just actually had a doula training. So just to get more people involved in birth work and to offer that support from people who are culturally relevant and in the communities and know how to provide that best support is really important.
Yeah, one of the things I'm hearing from both of you is that the onus shouldn't really necessarily be on the individual person, but we should be focusing on community efforts and thinking about all the resources available. And with that, I think we're going to have to end, but I think that's a great place to end, and we will certainly post this on our website along with any links you would like to include so we can talk after the show. But thank you so much for coming on the show today, and I'm going to pass it back to Grady.
You've been listening to Vanessa Vergen, who works with the Maternal Child Death Review Committee for the State Division of Public Health, and Abra Patkatuk, who is an Indigenous doula with the Alaska Native Birth Workers Community. Also with us for coffee at KYUK this morning to talk with us about maternal and child health was KYUK's Olivia Eberts.